Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
I stand on it. I claim it, and I will live by it. Now hold your swords up. Say, this is my sword. It's a weapon against the enemy. Contained herein is my destiny. I'm not only a hearer, but I'm a doer of the word. There's a word for me today. I'm ready to receive it. I'm alert, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, say it together out loud. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Father, that's exactly what we're purposed to do, to see you establish the work of our hand. Scripture references that we've been looking at, Matthew 13:22. In the end times, many ploys of the enemy will come to deceive, even God's people, if that were possible. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the enemy, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. And finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Father, thank you again that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. And you've come that we may have life. The enemy comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. But you have come that we may have life. And we thank you, Father, that you have defeated every assignment against us and that will not prosper. So as we ask you to bless this time together, give us understanding, Lord, for this very, very important season, time that we're in, and this nation is in, and the world is in. And we're asking for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Remember, as we're talking about these areas, this is good news. And I want us to realize, and just like what went on last night in Florida, you just see that the turmoil and the things that are going on in the world today. And that is, I want you, if you have any questions, that's pure hell released. And when the enemy, when we see these things happening, 50 people killed, 53 people wounded, and some, it could, the death numbers should be going up because there's many of them that are critical. That is straight from the pit of hell. And what we need to recognize is that the Lord says to us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It will prosper if you are not under the Lord's covering. But we can be assured that as we have, we've called upon the name of the Lord says, I will take care of you. And why these things happen? It's just outright hell. And the war that's going on, but we win. Turn to somebody and say, we win. And we win every day, not just at the end of it. The year 2016, grace and mercy, and that's what we need. We need the mercy of the Lord for this country. And I'm not down on it. Listen, I'm one of the biggest United States drum bangers there is. And you go overseas and you see what it's like over there, and you come back and you want to kiss the ground. But there's also something that we have to recognize, that one of the reasons why this nation was great is because we were one nation under God, indivisible. But now we're divided. There is division everywhere. But I know that it's through God's people recognizing who we are and what our position is that we'll see the Lord come and establish things. Like I said, in the darkest time, that's when the Lord shines his brightest light. And Scripture says for us that we're not to put our light under a bushel basket, are we? We've been looking at the essentials of ministry, and as you remember, one of the things, the anointing enables us to do what we cannot do. God never, in fact, if we can do, if we could get through life doing what we could do, then we'd never be on that miraculous side of life, where we're constantly recognizing that, God, my position is to allow you by your Spirit, whether it be in our marriages, whether it be in our relationship, whether it be in our jobs, Lord, I'm asking for your help in this to be something that I cannot be, but that you want me to be. How many know that's a good prayer? In the process is we have been looking at, again, the how to release the anointing through your ministry. And we understand this, that you have a ministry, you have a calling, and you have a destiny. Every one of those things are together. And even in a situation like in a job situation, that destiny, you move your destiny into the job situation and you become everything that God wants you to be. How many know that the Lord wants us to be successful? I mean, he wants us to be successful. How many know that he wants our marriages to be successful? He wants our children to be successful. He wants every aspect of our lives to be dependent upon him. And as I told you before, if you're able to make it through under your own stuff, what do you need God for? Right? And he's a jealous God. He wants us dependent upon. How many people are dependent upon the Lord? How many people, there are things in your life that you cannot do without God, right? So that's the way it's going to be. I also said before, the time that the hardest, the scariest times are not the times when you're going through difficulties. The scariest, the hardest times are the times when you don't need God, right? When everything is going cool. And it's amazing when we have challenges. You know, they say that there's no atheists in foxholes, right? So what happens in that process, as soon as you get out of the foxhole, it's just like, catch you next week or next month, God. I mean, that the wonderful thing about it is you can develop a relationship with God that you don't have to be in hard times to pursue him. In the midst of the good times, that's when his pleasures are forevermore. So we're loving the Lord and we're saying, God, I thank you that everything's going wonderfully. I thank you that our relationships, our jobs and whatever, there's always challenge. But God, I just thank you for that. God says that he wants us to show our appreciation to him. I know as a father, when my kids used to come up and thank you, Dad, for that and for no other reason. Just thank you, Dad. Hug my leg or my grandkids. Just absolutely. Just here's Dad, and whoop, there we come. Thank you, Dad. Caden came over on Saturday, and he has one of those the pads, you know, the iPad or whatever it's called, and it's all wrapped in this rubber thing, and you can throw it around the room and everything else. And he says, Dad, I need your help. And I said, what do you need my help for? He says, I can't get online. And I said, well, try it. And he starts pushing the buttons like that. See, it's not linking up. I need to know what your password is. I said, if I tell you, then you promise to forget it? He says, yeah, I'll forget it. So he hooked it. I hooked it up for him. And thanks, Dad. It was just like, and you know, the Lord just, he delights. He delights in our saying, God, I'm not asking you for anything. This is not a asking thing. I just want to let you know, Lord, that I love you. I want you to know that you're the most important thing in my life. And that spirit of appreciation, of thanksgiving, it developed into second nature. And it's wonderful to be able to allow that, God, my relationship with you is solid, and you know that. And it becomes that security where when we see things that are going on in life, and when there's shaky times in life, my God will never leave me or forsake me. It's such an awesome thing. Talking about ministering to others, I said, as we talked about it, there is an intent to see everything that we've based, and this is for the people online. We're getting an awful lot of thank you online. Everybody say welcome to people out there. Everybody say welcome to me. Oh, welcome. We have tremendous amount of hits on our website. And especially over this topic, had people sending me emails and say, I never knew this was so important. I never knew about the enemy. And I've been a Christian for 15, 20 years. Thank you for explaining to me. Now I'm starting to see why some of the things in my life have happened and why they become patterned in my life. But we're seeing a whole structure try to manipulate a reforming of the principles and the cultural restructuring. And if you do not get involved with it, then you become a hater or a bigot. And it's sad, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I don't know about any of you, I've been around for a while, I've never seen our nation so divided. So divided. The blacks against the Hispanics against the blacks and the whites and the Caucasians and everything, and the LGBT, all that kind of stuff, and everybody does this, hates this or whatever, women are not this. It's just absolutely, and that's what happens when the enemy comes in. He causes turmoil. He causes strife. And that's why I said we are not to look at this as just a people battle. When the enemy tries to come into a marriage and tries to pit one against the other, that's the same spirit of division that will defeat that relationship if it's not worked on. Amen? Amen. I'm not looking at you for any reason. I'm just... But if conviction is there, then go ahead and receive it. But the recognition that we do not fight against the flesh... And that spirit of authority that God has given to you is as powerful as is necessary to defeat the powers of hell in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your kids. Sufficient. Just because the Bible says that he's given each one the measure of faith. Now, what does that mean? What it means is, to the degree that you need faith to operate in faith, he's given you that amount of faith. And there's many times we say, God, I don't have faith for this. And he says to us, the faith is in direct proportion to your need. I will never require of you something that I don't give you the ability to do. And that's a good father. So when he's calling to us to establish ourselves, our relationship with him, or the same thing, the same amount of faith that is necessary for you to accomplish the task is the same amount of anointing that you have to do, that because of that, part of that task is defeating the powers of the enemy in your life and in other people's lives. I was listening to something on one of the Christian stations this morning, and there was back in 1980, there was a book that came out, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And it was written by a rabbi, and he got it all wrong, because he said that God can only do so much. He didn't believe that God was omnipotent, which means all-powerful. He says, God is growing. And I'm saying, what in heaven's name? I mean, when I read it back in those days, I looked at it and I said, you know, it's absolutely foolish to think. And he said that we should pray for God. Now, this is a rabbi. We should pray. And I said, who do you pray to God for? Who do you go to pray for God? Figure that one out. If we should be praying, who do we go to pray, to ask for support or provision for God? Bad things happen to good people. And that throws so many people out in their definition of God. How could this possibly be? That God is a good God and he would allow these things to happen? When I hear that question, it just, and I can't get to the person because it's on television or someplace, I want to just jump through the radio or TV or whatever it might be, because there's an answer to it. There's an answer to it. Bad things happen to good people because people have become, allowed this earth to be manipulated and tied God's hands. He doesn't want bad things to happen to anyone. But what if you're a completely good person? The enemy doesn't care how good you are. In fact, what he tries to do is to manipulate any way he possibly can to harm you and then blame God. God gave man a perfect world. Man gave that perfect world to the enemy. And from that point on, outside of Jesus Christ, nobody could come close to being able to deal with a demonic attack. That's why 22 different societies, all of them have been destroyed. And they've been destroyed from the inside out. From the inside. That's the way the Lord works. That's the way the enemy works too. He wants to get into your marriage. He wants to get into your kids. He wants to try everything he possibly can. And people are sleeping at the wheel because we don't recognize, wait a minute here, we're dealing with a spiritual attack. And you can't medicate a demonic spirit. You can't out-talk them. You can't out-power them. There's only one way you can do it, is you take authority over it. And you've been given every bit of authority, just like you've been given every bit of faith that you need to control, to deal with the powers of the enemy in your life. That's a good place to say amen. We've been looking at defeating the powers of the enemy through your at the end times and your ministry. And we called it spiritual warfare. I'm going through quickly. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard of righteousness. We began our series, how to deal with the spiritual warfare in our lives personally, and we went through that, and then others, which we're looking at right now. I told you that this is all you need, folks. And anybody, I mean, this is dumbed down as much as we possibly can. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. I had to deal with a counseling situation, a couple, last week. And the person really felt that it was not necessary to ask God for some of the important things in his life, in their marriage. And I says, why not? And he says, because God's too busy. Well, he hadn't been around for a long time here, but he is now. I can't get God involved with this. He's too busy. And you know, that's so many, I don't want to bring God into the trivial things. You know, it sounds funny, but it's sad. He's just too busy for me. And I said, and they've got a little boy. What happens if your little son has a bicycle that's broken or not working right? And someone says, well, you need to go talk to your dad. He knows about bicycles. And that little boy said, my dad is too busy for that. I don't want to bother him. Now, if there's any other kind of, any dad that I know of, that would break his heart. And God says, I make myself available for every situation in your life. And they're going through some marital problems because the enemy had come in. And they weren't aware that we're dealing with the enemy. And God gave a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom to tell exactly what that was. And I told him exactly, I said, this is where it came in, and this is what happened. And sometimes God will use you like that, does me all the time, just to blow the socks off of somebody to get their attention. And in that understanding, I didn't know that we were fighting the enemy. I just thought it was her. I thought it was him. Well, sometimes they act like the devil, don't they? And I know that the enemy loves to use us. Anybody been used by the enemy? I'm going to have an altar call in just a minute. The enemy can get on you, and the purpose for it is to get on other people, right? Just like you have been given a mandate by God to help other people, we have also been given the threat that the enemy can use us to affect other people. How many people would rather do it the right way? And once you recognize, wait a minute, this is the devil, and you say, the devil made me do it, God says, well, you make them stop doing it. Amen. The devil made me do it. Why'd you do that? The devil made me do it. How to stop robbery in your life? We looked at that. We went through the whole phase in that, how to stop robbery in your life. And now we're looking, and we began looking at how to stop robbery in others. And on your notes there, let me back this up again. I went backwards. On your notes, we start filling it in right now. So what we're dealing with, how to stop robbery in others, which is known as spiritual warfare, which is called ministry. And I told you, your ministry is connected to your destiny. You can't have the blessings of the Lord and bypass Him using you, because He created you to be used by Him. And the greatest gift that you can give someone is the revelation of God's love. The greatest thing that you can do for someone is to see them set free, or their marriages to come back together, or just the area of just bringing that revelation of who they are. And I remember dealing with prostitutes and drug dealers. This one lady came to our church. She was the number one prostitute in San Francisco. Beautiful, just beautiful. And her heart was so good, so sweet, and so, it was just almost like a preciousness about her. And she came, and she asked for counseling sessions, and I went through a number of counseling sessions, found out that lady, she had been molested, and from that point on, she felt her self-image was absolutely zero, and yet she was so beautiful and so loving. Somehow you think the other way around. There's no doubt in my mind the enemy used that in order to bring her to that level. But she had such a low self-image, she couldn't do anything. And she said, how can God love me? How can God love me? How can God love me? I don't love myself. And to watch, she had cut her wrist. Doctor said to her, you almost cut your hand off. You didn't just cut your wrist. You're going to end up doing it. And she was afraid because she had gotten out of control. She said, I need something. I need something. Many people had talked to her about God, but they didn't understand that she was rejecting not God, she was rejecting herself. And once we were able to break that spirit that was on her, that was controlling her, the love of God just saturated her. And I tell you, I thought she was beautiful before, but the inside was changed, and she began to glow in the dark. She was that incredibly beautiful. Well, we continued counseling. She continued coming to church. She began a major ministry in San Francisco to the prostitutes there. She had tons of money. She would get them off the street and pay their rent, and scores of them, scores, many, I don't even know how many, but brought that revelation of God's love for them. That's the greatest gift that we can give someone. Because for those that Christ sets free, they're free indeed. And when you have a low self-image, it's very easy to accept the negative side. Very easy to accept the bad things that people would say or you would think about yourself. When you have a negative self-image, you will reject God's love. And God comes in a supernatural way, and He restores, and He puts it back together again. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to see when someone comes alive and they start loving themselves. Loving them in such a way that says, I actually count for something. Our identity, I've told you this years ago, our identity is not what we do. Our identity is who we know. And if you allow God to love you or to love through you, you have been gifted with the most incredible gift that was ever created. And I'll tell you something, there's no high like the Most High. Amen. So we're dealing with the area of gaining the attacks of the enemy. I got carried away and pushed my little button here. Luke chapter 4, 16, 21. I read this last week. This is your ministry. This is your ministry. Jesus outlined your ministry here in this passage. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. That was the church. And he stood up to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What he was essentially saying is, "I'm the Messiah." And they couldn't get around that. It was blasphemous. And when you recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, that what he says is truth, then he says, "Greater things than I do will you do." And every one of these things are part of your ministry. And I want to tell you, as I said last week, there are people that are walking around that can see that are blind. People who are walking around that can hear that are deaf. There are people walking around that are bound because they're in prison. There are people that need to hear that this is the year of the favor of the Lord. God's favor for you. And he says, this is part of the anointing that I gave to you. You can say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And that's part our calling. In this other verse, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's the same anointing that Jesus had. He had the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and he said, now I give you those keys. And those keys are to unlock doors. They're the truths that set people free. That's why a Christian that is not operating in their gifts is at best on one or two cylinders. And this is not to put anybody down, but it's to underline the fact that if you want to be everybody happy, 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 that is part of the joy of being used by God. I want you to check out our site, because the message a couple weeks ago, exposing the tactics of the enemy. And I just happened, I went looking, Google some of the images, just to see what was out there on Satan and the enemy and whatever. I couldn't believe the stuff. How it's celebrated. Look at the cross that's upside down. This is doesn't look like a happy camper to me. And you know what I did? I prayed for her. I don't know her from Adam, but I know she's going down the wrong path. And we see so many of those. And what we did, I gave you the reasons why, what it looks like, and why people are involved in the demonic, how they get sucked up into it, Ouija boards and unforgiving spirits, disobedience, dependent on outside sources, incorrect relationship. And then what I did, we gave you what we examined, what does the enemy attack look like? And it's not, as you remember, I said, it's not seeing somebody with their head spinning around or looking like the devil, acting like the devil. Those are obvious, but the enemy doesn't want to expose himself like that. You think that, let me just give you some insight. The enemy works best when it's stealth. He comes in like a thief. He's not out there banging his drum or whatever it might be, scaring you half to death with these stupid movies. He doesn't want that. He wants us to drop our guards down, people to drop their guards down, and he comes in like a thief in the night. And it looks like this. This is the enemy's examples of what the enemy looks like and how he affects people. When you see the inability to believe, like that one person that I was telling you about, she had no ability to be able to make the decision that God loved her. And I discerned, I told you this, a lot of stuff on the enemy and sharing with people. The reason is that in the end times it's going to get, but it's wonderful to be able to see people being set free from things that they thought it was some kind of childhood thing or passed down. Yes, there are generational sins that are passed down, and some of those generational sins have to be broken. Yes. And what happens is, there's a spirit of divorce. Do you know that? And so often I find that people who come from broken homes, they carry that demonic seed within them. And it has to be broken or it perpetuates itself. And once that seed, once that demonic influence is broken, it's amazing what happens. Because it's from the outside now, trying, not inside working out, it's from the outside trying to get in, and we don't let them get in. But these are examples, nightmares, controlling thoughts. So when you come across these kinds of things, you recognize it's a spirit behind it. And I'm going to show you how to deal with it. Drug, alcohol addictions, eating obsessions, compulsive sexual thoughts, physical attacks. And you don't play around, for although anyone who's listening online, you don't play around with the enemy and don't expect, and not expect, I should say, and not expect to get bitten. The devil doesn't like you. There's no such thing as a white witch or a nice demon. There's no such thing as the enemy not taking advantage of someone that is trying to be involved with him. The whole purpose is to control. So I tell people, be careful what you watch on the internet. Well, there's nobody else here but it and me. I mean, I'm not hurting anybody. Except pornography, sexual addiction is a major, major, even stronger than substance abuse addictions. Pornography is a stronger spirit than drugs or alcohol or whatever. And when you turn that thing on, and eventually get, if you're a Christian, and eventually get convicted, you turn the thing off, you know what? It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. You've invited the demonic spirit into your place, into your head. And that will stay there until it is broken from a spiritual perspective. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I can't get it out of my head. And I'm talking about women too. I can't get the picture out of my head. And I shared. And you'll come across those kind, now that you know, and many of you know already, you come across people like that in the situation, we want to help them. You play around with the enemy, you're going to smell like hell. Amen or oh me? We want to help these kind of people. That's what we're here for. They can't be set free any other way. The devil won't leave them alone. You can say, I promise I'm never going to yada yada again. But the enemy is there tormenting over and over and over and over and over again, and he torments that person to get sucked back into the situation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then you fail again. Then that person fails again. And then eventually, after feeling completely debilitated, they eventually just can give up on themselves. That's just who I am. That's the way the enemy works. That's why it's important for us to understand. And when we come across these things, we can help them. How to stop spiritual robbery in others. We began last week, and I said the first one is to understand your position in Christ. The enemy understands your position in Christ. It's extremely important. And one of the tools of the enemy is to try to neutralize your understanding or your feeling about who Christ is in your life. He wants to water that down so you can lose your effectiveness. When you're not moving in faith, you don't have faith to be able to move in. You hear what I'm saying? And the enemy tries everything he possibly can. Well, it's not how you feel or how mistakes that you made. It's about what God's word says. And if you're doing things that are neutralizing your position in Christ, stop it. Well, Pastor, I can't stop it. Yes, you can. In Jesus' name. And if you realize that you're not working with some kind of fleshly thing that's going out there, your weakness, I'm weak, I can't do it. And start looking at who you are in Christ and say, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And you start calling out the positives. I can do all things. Not I can't. I can't do it. I failed. I can't. God says, wait a minute. If I've called you to set people free, don't you think I can help you be set free? It's extremely important that we understand that. Who God says you are. Who your true identity is. Not what you feel like. Not what someone else said. But what God says. I am a child of God, a son, a daughter of God. And that's the definition that God sees us in, because he looks at us through Jesus and he sees completeness and he sees the ability to break habits that are wrong. He sees the ability for you to be empowered to set people that he's put across your path free for him. Who we are. You tell that person, but first of all, you've got to understand it. The next thing is to ask for a special anointing for ministry. Lord, I'm dealing with Susie over here, and she's having problems, and I don't know what the situation, I'm asking. You put Susie across my path for a reason, and I care for her. I may not like her, but I care for her. And it could be a family member, a sister, a brother, an aunt, a niece, a parent. I need, Lord, that anointing that enables me to be able to minister to them. And remember, the anointing is something that you don't have. I'm asking for that special anointing, Lord. That uniqueness in Christ, it qualifies you to move in the supernatural. I ask that you'd help me minister. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened. And if you come to the Lord about Susie, do you think he's going to turn you away? Lord, let that anointing come. Show me how. I pray. The next thing that we talked about was acknowledge by faith the anointing that you've given. It's all by faith, folks. It's not how you feel. It's not how you look. It's not how what you did yesterday or you're going to do tomorrow. It's about faith. I stand in the faith where Christ has set me free. And I stand believing that, Lord, with you all things are possible. Amen. And this is not just verbal massages, folks. Because as I said at the beginning, God needs you. We're into the third quarter here. And I think we're getting into the fourth. And sad to say, we're losing the game. The church, the Christians. And I can prove it. But we win. Something's going to happen in the fourth quarter that's going to change everything around. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. The next one is to share the Lord's love and the desire to help them. This is the next point, like what I've been talking about. Share your testimony. That's the greatest thing. Your ministry is based on your testimony. And a lot of people are just moaning, not testifying. Got a case of the moanies. But what happened in your life becomes the platform for your ministry. Because no one can say that's not true if you've experienced it. And there's a lot of Christians sitting on their hands where they've never experienced the incredible breakthroughs that God has for them, and they have no testimony. But I'll tell you something. When you say, this is what God did for me, and it happens to line up with what they're going through, it's amazing because they have a tangible something. Some people can't grasp about God. It's too weird. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. I understand that you've got that relationship, but I don't have that relationship. And I wish I did, but I don't. and you come in a nice way, say, you want to see Jesus? Yeah, I'd like to see Jesus. You're looking at it. You're looking at it. Well, sometimes you act like the devil. Well, sometimes I do. But right now, you're looking at Jesus, and you're hearing from him. He loves you. And he told me to tell you that. And I want you to know that the thing that I went through is the same thing, the thing that you went through. And let me show you what Jesus, let me tell you about what Jesus did for me. And he wants to do the same. You've got something tangible. That's why Jesus left. That's why he sent the Spirit in us. Imagine if Jesus was still walking around this earth and he was living in Jerusalem. How long do you think it would take to get there? The flights are all booked. You'd never get close to him. If he were still on the face of this earth, it would be a zoo. Or you think some of those soccer games over in Europe are crazy. But he's given the Holy Spirit to us. And he says, now go be Jesus. Somebody can grab a pastor, thank you so much. Or John, thank you so much. Or put your name and thank, oh, you're just amazing. Just thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you. Don't know what you've done. You've just given me whatever it might be. Jesus. Jesus. I don't have to say Jesus did it. Oh, don't give me any. Say thank you. You don't, well, you know, I don't want to get prideful here. It was just all Jesus. That's a given. Say thank you. People don't want you to deflect their appreciation for what you, let them appreciate you. And then you go back and say, the Lord wants the same for you. And he loves you, and he cares for you. And all of a sudden, something starts to kick in. People are hurting, in need. That's a time where you help that relationship and leading them a relationship. Like I said, most people that are hurting are looking for help. We have an opportunity to be able to lead them into that revelation of Jesus. The next one, ask the person, how can I pray for you? Sometimes there are specific situations. Some people don't even know what's going on. I'm just in a mess. I'm a mess. You ask the Lord for discernment. Lord, what is it that you have? You're in a right place. You've got the right time. Don't you think that God would show up? Don't you think that he would be there saying, this is what? Here's where the situation. I could tell you stories. People that were bound for years. I'm just thinking here, I'm asking the Lord. There was this, here's a one. I was counseling, probably, I was booked for 3 months in advance. How do you like to have that? Sorry, it's now June. We have something in October. Ugh. But couldn't do it anymore. 8-10 hours a day. This one person, I got a call from, my secretary got a call from a psychiatrist and said, we can't do any more for her. Just like that one lady that was here a little while ago, the one that was demon-possessed, certainly oppressed. Doctors, I can't do anything more with her. Medicate. I know that the psychiatrist can't deal with the spirit. And when you're dealing with a spirit, no psychological whatever it might be is going to talk the enemy out of it. So I said, all right, let's do it. And we got her in quickly. Very successful looking person, lady, and her, I guess 50, very successful looking. But she had a waxy look on her face. Her skin was waxy. And She sat down in my office, and I always pray. And I said, "What's in your purse?" She said, "Stuff." And she wasn't combatant, but she said, "You want to see?" And she dumped it on my and she must have had 15 pill bottles in there. Says, "This is what's ruining me." Started to cry. I said, I was praying, "Lord, I need a revelation. I need a word of knowledge." She said, "Ask her what she was doing when she was 19 years old." Let me tell you, this is not woo-woo. This actually happened, but I want to give you an example of what God will do for you. She said, I said, what were you doing at 19 years old? And she said, let me go think. I just graduated from high school. She said, it was summer. So me and my friend went down to, on First Street, across from the St. Clair Hotel or whatever it was, there was a pharmacy there. And she, like a Walgreens or something like that, I don't know what it was. She said, we went to work there together for the summer. And I said, well, how did that go? She said, well, I'm fine. And the Lord says, no, it didn't. I said, no, it didn't. Tell me what? She thought, she says, yeah, it didn't. Explain it to me. Well, we were both hired the same day. We were both working in the same department. And she got a promotion, and I didn't. She eventually became my boss. And she started manipulating me or whatever it might be. And I got to the point where I hated that girl, that woman, my friend. I says, you have been living in unforgiveness for all of these years. And because of that, you have lived in hell. My family's all, they don't know what to do with me. I'm successful in business because that comes easy to me. But there's contention and all kinds. I said, back then, you chose to deal with a spirit of unforgiveness, and you have been carrying that spirit for all of these years, and you, because of that, you've allowed the other spirits to come into you. She was shaking. And I said, what we're going to do next is we're going to, I never didn't have the guts back then to say, we're going to get the hell out of here. But I do now because I'm the senior pastor. I can say whatever I want. No, I can't. So what I did, I took authority over that. I bound the spirit of unforgiveness. She was shaking like a leaf, or just almost, she was shaken. And I didn't stop until I knew that she was set free. And she came to the point where literally she was vibrating almost without coming down. It was so convulsive that when I bound it the last time, she just fell, just totally out. I sat there for probably 20 minutes. I told my secretary, I says, come in. I want you standing here too. She came in. She saw the person, but my secretary worked for me for a long time. I was the one that was assigned to kick the demons out of people. Had that on my card, demon kicker outer. She was almost comatose. We sat there. And I did that for protection, by the way, my secretary. And she eventually came out. And she sat up, and I asked her, "Do you forgive, I don't know, Annabelle or whatever her name was? Do you forgive her?" She says, "Pastor, I don't want any more of this hell going on in my life. I forgive her. I am sorry for this. I'm sorry for all I've done. I forgive her with all of my heart." And I prayed for her. My secretary was there too. We prayed for her. And I'll tell you something. After the prayer, I put my hands on, laid hands on her. Her face was no longer waxy. She was totally beautiful. I dismissed her or said, "Okay, our thing is over." I gave her some stuff to be able to carry through on. I saw her in church the next week, and she was glowing. She said, "I can't believe it." She said, "All these years, I didn't know that I was carrying around those things." The reason I tell you that, and I could tell you hundreds of stories, is that's why you have the Holy Spirit within you to be able to deal with those areas. You're dealing with a spiritual side. The world deals with the flesh or the emotions. And when you understand that as a Christian, you've got an advantage over everyone that's trying to help this particular person. How can I pray for you? The next one, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in discernment. And that's why I told you that story. "Lord, this particular person, tell me what's going on, Lord." You'd be surprised when they're sharing their stories and situations of what they've been going through, the Holy Spirit will drop something into your mind. That's a word of knowledge. You have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have the gift of the word of knowledge within you. Then, and that's my ministry in counseling, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is, now that you have that knowledge, what am I supposed to do with it, God? The word of knowledge is what's going on. The word of wisdom is how to deal with what's going on. And it's amazing. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit, who has set this encounter up, is standing right there waiting for you to posture yourself to be able to be his hand extended. That's what this is all about, folks. Setting the captive free. I tell you, that lady, sweetheart, with her husband, she followed me around. Be at church, she'd come to my classes, she'd do all the neat things, introduce me to her friends, brought people to the church. "I want you to meet Pastor Babish." "Thank you, good." And it's fun. It's fun when people are set free. We pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, she is powerful, was powerful. Ended up with a prison ministry. Went to visit ladies in prison at Elmwood. It just keeps multiplying itself. And it's awesome. And like Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And along with that, the Bible says, "And all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, and all these things will be added. He's an amazing God. He's an amazing God. Bow with me as we close. Father, thank you. Thank you for the joy, for the peace, for the expectancy, for the possibilities. Lord, that you would take us and allow us to move in that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. that enable us to move not only in deliverance in our lives, but to set the captives free, to bring sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, but proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You're an amazing God, but you've just begun your amazement. I take a moment and just speak to the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hi. Good to be here. Thank you, Lord. Okay, look up. That's your assignment, should you decide to accept it. Mr. and Mrs. Phelps, if you don't know what that is, turn to somebody and say, He's amazing God. And you're about even to get more amazed. Amen. Stand. Just give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Come on, give Him a hand. Amen. In Jesus' name.
As I stand and lift my hands, I surrender it all to You. I can search this world and find there is none like You. Who can cause mountains to rise? Who can calm this raging storm? Truly amazing.
Hallelujah. He's an amazing God. Brooke wrote that song, Anointed. Take your neighbor's hand. Father, thank you. Thank you for that revelation that you are an amazing God. Far amazing than any of our needs. You're far greater than anything that we face. And you want us with confidence to approach your presence with an expectancy. You parted the waters. You've walked on the waters. You've done all for that revelation of knowing that nothing is impossible. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. I pray for your provision for them, that they might walk in that victory and that you use them, Lord. We agree together. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Holy Spirit, I just release you into each one, those listening online. I release your blessing. I release your provision. I release your power. I release your protection. And I release your presence where there's fullness of joy. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands for you. Yes, establish the work of your hands. Release that benefit. We receive it in Jesus' name. And all God's anointed people said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Have an awesome, awesome week in Jesus' name. Turn around and give somebody a hug. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.